Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 24th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. Do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. We're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, what are the peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. I've got an interesting show today. I'm on the road, but I wanted to be live. And we did an interview with James Edwards last Wednesday, two-hour incredible broadcast. And we had a few internet blips. There were storms in the southeast where our studio's uplinked to the rest of the world, etc. And so we had some technical difficulties. And what I did was I preserved the audio because the conversation was so great between myself and James Edwards that I really wanted to make sure that everybody could hear it. So I've got this interview with James. A lot of this is going to be broadcast of that, the interviews that I did with James. And so I'll be back and forth kind of live doing some transitions for the breaks and everything for the road. But the bulk of the interview will be this incredible interview with James Edwards of thepoliticalcesspool.org. Here's Sam and James.
We had on Casey Whalen, a dear friend of ours. He runs a group called North Idaho Exposed. You got it, North Idaho Exposed. Dear friend of ours, great gentleman. You want to learn more about him, go to caseywhalen.substack.com. That's CaseyWhalen, caseywhalen.substack.com. And you can check out his incredible work. Well, he wrote an article highlighting the details of his incredible research. He's done a bunch of FOIA requests, interviewed FBI agents who tried to interview him. He interviewed them. I know. Yeah, the guy is absolutely on fire for the sacred cause of liberty. Here's the title of his article. United States prepares to target dissenting Americans in culture war. Marxist networks are fomenting the end game for, quote, nationalists and Christians. Boy, howdy, is Casey spot on with this. Well, Casey, again, the FBI came to his house because he was digging in so hard, they began to freak out, man. You know, the light of day really makes these people panic. So the FBI got a hold of Casey, and, well, they were supposed to interview Casey, but Casey interviewed them. Yeah, we played yesterday on the show this soundbite. Casey directly asks FBI special agent, the guy's name is Bryn Gunderson, B-R-Y-N-N, Bryn Gunderson. Let me say it over. His name is so weird. Bryn Gunderson. So it's spelled B-R-Y-N-N, and then the last name is G-U-N-N-E-R-S-O-N. Bryn Gunderson. He asked him flat out directly, what is white nationalism? And the FBI agent was forced to answer. And the answer is riveting. Basically, he said there's nothing wrong with being white. There's nothing wrong with being a nationalist. Both are harmless. But the definition ranges from harmless nothing to you're a terrorist. And literally, Casey trapped this FBI agent, we have his name and everything, who literally admitted that it can mean nothing. We also learn from, they call it Task Force Butler, that's this organization, in which three reports have now been published or released. One of them is public and the other two are literally private, but they've been sent to prosecutors across the country. You see, Casey's documentation and his evidence that he's learned from these FOIA requests is this. You've got a cadre of government groups in bed with non-government groups that are all working together to pass information up and down the system from the local level all the way to the, quote, international level and all the way back to the local level, depending on where the information is discovered. All right. Now listen. Project Blacklisted is one of the reports that was released and discovered. And it discusses the players in what's called Patriot Front. And the details are riveting. The second report is called Project Husky. Discusses how to process and prosecute MSC 131. Okay? Marxist networks, ladies and gentlemen, have been established in the inland Northwest is what he discovers. But I'm telling you, they've created a template that is being duplicated across the country. Casey can help you expose it in your area. But they've been established in the inland Northwest under the guise of nonprofits, 501c3s, etc. And they're essentially donating monies back and forth between these network participants. Yeah, at the core of it, your Justice Department, the FBI, Homeland Security, and the Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay, this is serious business, folks. Casey exposed all this on the air. He's got FOIA requests and interviews and data that doubles down. If you go to CaseyWayland.substack.com, you can learn more. We're going to have him on for an extended interview because he was only on for the first hour yesterday on radio and TV. And folks, we're going to have him on more to break this down. And we're also going to start to invoke Americans, patriots. You might even call them white nationalists because some of them might be white. But see, even if you're not white, you're an Uncle Tom white nationalist. You got it? If you stand for liberty or Christianity, you are a white nationalist, even though the FBI, through their special agent, blatantly admits in a recording that it means nothing, that it's fine, that it's okay. That's the narrative. But these good, honest Americans is what I would call them. These people who care about God, family, and country, they may be white, they may not be white, but they will dig in and connect the dots, as Casey has done in Northern Idaho, and North Idaho Exposed is his group. But we will start exposing across the country these plans, this money trail, these organizations and connections to human rights groups, etc., all tied into the Southern Poverty Law Center and your government agencies. We will duplicate connecting the dots across the country. We're going to call it Operation what? What should we call it? Operation Tell the Truth? Operation Expose? James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org website, author, host, and more. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable. And what do you say to that report from Liberty Roundtable Live, sir?
I have got a lot to say about that, Sam. You have certainly served me up something that is right in my wheelhouse and pretty much an issue that I've dedicated nearly my entire career to. If there is one thing I am known for, it is for the issues you were just making mention of. And I wish I could have heard that live yesterday. I had taken my son down to Sardis Lake, a little lake about an hour south of Memphis, where my grandparents used to take me when I was around that age. We'd go down there every summer. My birthday is tomorrow. So we're sort of getting the party started early here on Liberty Roundtable this morning. And it's always an honor to be with you. But yeah, I was down there.
How old are you going to be? Are you going to turn 30?
I wish. I'll be 43 tomorrow, 43, and I've been doing this since I was
young,
and on the radio since I was 24, so have been doing this my entire adult life. Bittersweet to take my son down there where I had all those nostalgic and sentimental memories, but that's what's going on this week. So I missed the show yesterday doing a little birthday activity with my son, and come back today and find this story. So this is, I think, the story right now. I think this is the biggest issue that, you know, aside from a collapsing economy and potentially nuclear war with Russia, what they have done here, what the system has been doing now for many, many, many years, but I think people have really caught on to it now. It's reached a sort of critical mass in that if you have beliefs that are now characterized as being so-called white nationalist beliefs, you basically have beliefs that in the previous generation were categorized as just being an American, you know, being a normal American, somebody who has a reverence for their history and for their heroes and for their faith and for their family and their ancestors. I mean, having a reverence and not feeling guilt over who you are and how God made you, that's, again, that's what a normal person would. Somebody, but now it's called white nationalism. And I wrote the book about it, or a book about it. Certainly the first book that I know to have been published about this, all the way back in 2010, before people were even thinking about this. Back then, if somebody was called a racist, if somebody was called a white nationalist, then they were really an outlier. I mean, certainly I was being called these things back then, but it really set you apart. That was like, okay, well, these guys are scary. These guys are radioactive. And in most cases, maybe not in all, but in most cases, even back then, it was pure hogwash. But now, I mean, we've really accelerated to the point now where if you have even the flimsiest conservative tendencies, it's an all-encompassing term. And in my book, I was saying this is what they're doing. They want conservatives. They want people who are opposed to radical egalitarianism, radical left-wing initiatives. They want to sideline you by calling you a racist, by calling you a white nationalist, by getting you that negative social stigma. They think that you'll either spin your wheels doing nothing, arguing whether or not you are in fact this or that, or you'll just withdraw from the battlefield. And that's what they've done, and that's what they're doing. But I think they've done it so much now that people are catching on, and it really is an indescribable term. But that goes back to what critical race theory is all about. Now, that's a term people will know. What is critical race theory? Well, the theory is to criticize relentlessly, criticize your opposition, criticize everything they are, everything they stand for, until they submit and join this progressive cult, so-called progressive cult. But as you said in your excellent recap there just a moment ago, Sam, I am absolutely and unequivocally a nationalist. And I am white, and I don't feel any guilt for being white, and I don't feel any guilt for being a nationalist. I do. What's the opposite of being a nationalist? Somebody who maintains their loyalty to their people or to their nation. To be an internationalist, to be a globalist. Let's pick up right there.
Can you go ahead and skip the break? Keep going, James.
Well, I don't have a problem with those terms. I am white. I am a nationalist. But if you put them together, then it sort of becomes like, oh, hey, hold on now, wait a minute. And I don't like the term, frankly, white nationalist. I have never called myself a white nationalist. You can call me a white advocate.
Hold on. You don't like it because of the lie, label, manipulated, politically charged, dishonest insinuation that engenders, right?
That's exactly right. Well, there's a couple of reasons why. The term white nationalist, I think it sort of evokes, not that there's anything wrong with militia or people like that. I'm not saying that at all, but it sort of evokes this sort of militant, you sort of in your mind's eye picture some militant sort of outside, not the big outside, the box is wrong, but you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's something sort of militant, standoffish, sort of outside of mainstream society, a loner.
Secretive, anti-government, lone wolf, all these stuff, things start to be embodied,
like that.
Right?
Stuff like that, as opposed to, hey, I'm just a normal guy with normal beliefs that, again, a few decades ago would have just been a basic American belief. Certainly, it wouldn't have been out of line with our founding fathers or any of our heroes or even any of our presidents up until about the mid-1960s. Another thing about white nationalists,
and would not be out of line with Christian values either.
No, absolutely not. Of course not. And that's another thing, too, by the way. Now they're really going after that, too, because now they're using the term Christian nationalist in the same vein as white nationalists. And another thing I don't like about the term white nationalist is that the media, as dishonest as they are and as evil as they are and contemptible, they use the term interchangeably with white supremacist. And those are two different terms, but the media uses them interchangeably. You read articles about people that they're attacking, Donald Trump, James Edwards, Sam Bushman, anybody that speaks a narrative that challenges that of the system. And you will see in some of the articles, these people are referred to as white nationalists, sometimes as white supremacists, sometimes neo-Nazis, sometimes as Klansmen. And they use them all interchangeably, and that's also dishonest. So you can call me a lot of things. Don't call me late for dinner, but we can. I don't personally adopt the term white nationalist, while at the same time saying I am white and I am a nationalist.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. White nationalists are everywhere. And just so you know, the more people they deny it, the more it's supposedly true. And that's the problem with these labels and terms that they place upon each of us is, you know, they even claim the more you deny it, even if you say it isn't true, that's not me. Well, the more you deny it, the more they claim it's true. Just look at, for example, election deniers. I'm not an election denier. I know elections exist. I've never denied that they exist. I just say they're wrought with fraud. The problem is I say they're wrought with fraud. They deny that and say, no, but I'm the denier. wait a minute, I'm telling you there's elections, absolutely, and they're committing fraud. And they say, no, we're not. Well, they're denying it, aren't they? But yet somehow the label is I'm the denier because I question the mainstream narrative, you see. And that's the problem with the white supremacist movement is it's all dishonest. We had on Catherine Engelbrecht, second hour, founder and president of TrueTheVote.org for a riveting interview. They're engaged in six lawsuits now, even after Connex dismissed the lawsuit against them. We're talking about election intelligence. We need to trust but verify, take action, stop election fraud, both foreign and domestic. Join us in demanding an end to foreign technological interference into U.S. elections. We have published a petition, says True the Vote, on what's called StopCCPElectionFraud.com. That's StopCCPElectionFraud.com. And you can sign that petition and take action yourself. By signing our petition, you are sending a clear message. And Catherine says to our leaders, but I would say those criminal servants who are violating their oaths of office. But you can double down and state that we, the people, will not stand idly by while our republic is being compromised by election fraud. They're the deniers. They claim it isn't true. We have ample evidence that it's true, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. GOP now is voting by mail. Trump has now said, quote, until Republicans gain power and can change the law, they have no choice but to support voting by mail. I would say shame on the Donald, ladies and gentlemen. He's basically saying, hey, mail-in balloting is election fraud, all right? But he says, quote, mail-in ballots, by the way, will always be dishonest, Trump says. So he says they'll always be dishonest, but we have no choice but to be dishonest. Shame on the Donald. What a disgrace. In fact, the National Republican Committee is getting involved in this, the NRC or whatever it's called. The effort that they're promoting now as Republicans is called Bank Your Vote. That's right. Bank Your Vote further calls for Republicans to take advantage of, quote, ballot harvesting, where it's, quote, legal. Yeah, that's a practice that allows a third party to collect voters', quote, completed ballots to win close elections. We need to close the gap on, quote, pre-election day voting, says Ronna McDaniel, the RNC chair. She said that in a, quote, promotion video for the new program called Bank Your Vote. So now you've got this situation where Donald Trump has caved. Shame on the Donald. He says it's dishonest, it's vote fraud, but we got to do it. What a disgrace, Donald. But believe it or not, even Carrie Lake now. Carrie Lake has also, quote, thawed on the, quote, mail-in balloting scenario. Quote, well, you know how I feel about mail-in ballots. If this is the game we have to play, if we've got to work in their, quote, rigged system, then we'll work in their rigged system, Lake said in late May. Shame on these people. They're literally saying we cannot stop criminality in America, so we're going to double down and join the criminality, and they want you to believe that's the moral high road. Shame on Kerry. Shame on the Donald. James.
I got to disagree with you on that, Sam. I agree with them on this. This is the thing that why conservatives always lose is
thou
because
we shall not steal.
We have our principles.
For stealing, right?
We have our principles. No, I'm not advocating for stealing, but what I'm saying to you is the other side is going to do that. The other side is going to do that.
The other
side
is going to steal the election.
Do that. We have our principles, right? So we have our principles, and the other side doesn't. And guess who wins every time if you go into a battle against an unprincipled group of people versus a group of people who are going to play by the rules? You're going to lose every time. That's why conservatives have lost every major battle going back at least into the 50s and probably much longer than that.
You will never garner favor with God or man or honesty or an integrity. You'll never hold the moral high ground if you cave to those principles It's kind of like raping. It's like raping the enemy in war, or it's like you know, these tactics of abuse, you know, to waterboard and everything else to try to get to the bottom of it. You're not going to gain ground that way, James.
Well, you're not betraying your principles to understand that the other side is going to stuff the ballot boxes. Now, in these swing states where the race is so close, according to the official numbers, now what the real numbers are, we'll never know. But according to the official numbers, Trump's within a fingernail of winning these states. And what's going on? So the Democrats are going around to these, whether it be black churches.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards, Sam Bushman in an interview. We had internet troubles. James got chopped off right there. I'm on the road today doing the bridges, but carrying these interviews because they're so critical. Now, I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate a little bit with James there, saying, look, you know, you're just losing the moral high ground. And to some degree, there's a valid point to be made about that. But there's also an equal, if not even more valuable point that James is bringing up, which is that, you know what? We have got to play by the rules that we find ourselves in. And even though we don't like the rules, even though we want to change the rules, even though we think the rules are wrong, the problem is how the rules came about. And us as a society letting those rules become the order of the day. The problem isn't saying we're going to play by them now. The problem is how did we get there? It reminds me of Social Security. I'm against Social Security 100%. But you know what? I paid into it now for 40 years. And you know what? At some point, I should get my due. At some point, I have a right to get some of my money back. At some point, I have a right to use the system that they've taken from me. I was born into it. I didn't have a choice to vote Social Security in or not. I just became of working age, and they started stealing my money. So for me to get some of my money back, is it stealing? I don't think so. It's Robin Hood-esque, if you will say. So you got to look at it sometimes in relation to where we are and what society has done. And what options do we have? And how do we solve these problems going forward in productive, incremental ways? I know everybody wants a Hail Mary. Let's just shut down election fraud 100%. Let's go ahead and go back to the Ten Commandments. Let's go ahead and back the Bill of Rights. Let's go ahead and apply the supreme law of the land liberally. Let's go ahead and, you know, jettison all things that are ungodly, that are against family. Let's just do it all the way. You know, that Hail Mary plan is a wonderful one, and I would love nothing more. But it isn't a real plan. The real plan is to say, all right, where are we now? How do we slowly but surely adjust our course to bring us back on track? We're a far field. But you know what? Good, honest, hardworking Americans who believe in God, family, country can bring us back, right? So James has a very valid point. I highlight that point, playing the devil's advocate to make a point, which is, folks, we cannot just throw in with evil. I'm right. However, James is right on the solutions. We've got to work within the system that we're given or that we currently have, and we've got to slowly but surely try to right the wreckage. In other words, we've got to right the ship, and it's not an easy task. You know what? If a ship is about to go under, you got to bail out water. You got to go ahead and make sure that it's not tipping. You got to go ahead and make sure that we can move closer to shore as we go. You got to make sure that people have life jackets in case somebody's overboard. There's a lot of things that can be done incrementally along the way to improve the situation. Is our situation dire? Yes, it is. It's grim. It's rough. Is it unsolvable? Not for a God-fearing, liberty-loving American people, it's not. We can absolutely do this. I don't want you to go negative on me, but it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of coordination. It's going to take a lot of patience. It's going to take a lot of determination. It's going to take Americans finding at first a civility discussion. And then after the civility discussion begins, eventually it's going to take some degree of unity, ladies and gentlemen. Unity on the basis of the values of God, family, and country. Quick pause. We'll continue. This James Edwards interview is riveting, and you are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News. I'm Jeremy Scott. Russia is accusing the head of the Wagner mercenary group of inciting a, quote, armed mutiny.
The country's National Anti-Terrorism Committee opened a criminal case against the mercenary boss just hours after he criticized Russia for lying about the war in Ukraine. On Friday, he claimed a huge number of his troops fighting in Ukraine were killed by Russian forces and threatened to start a rebellion. He also placed blame on Russia's defense minister for starting the country's war with Ukraine. I'm Brian Shook.
The White House is keeping a close eye on the situation. A National Security Council spokesman said last night that President Biden has been briefed. A top-secret military acoustic detection system heard what the U.S. Navy suspects was the implosion of the Titan submersible. A defense official says the Navy began listening for the Titan almost as soon as it lost communications with its mothership on the surface. The Navy so far is not disclosing when they made the detection. All five passengers on the Titan likely died instantaneously. Special Counsel Jack Smith is asking for a delay in the start of the trial of former President Donald Trump relating to how he handled classified documents. Trump has pleaded not guilty to 37 criminal counts. A tentative trial date is set for August, although a request has been filed to delay the trial until December. A temporary six-lane structure of Interstate 95 in the Northeast opens ahead of schedule after a huge fire caused part of the roadway to collapse in Philadelphia.
Folks who use I-95 through Philadelphia thrilled to hear a temporary roadway is back up and running after that massive fire collapsed a section of the highway 2 weeks ago. Sadly, the driver of the truck was killed. This news is especially important for truckers transporting food to your local grocery store.
Correspondent Laura Winters with our report. This is USA News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning. You're heading to the airport, right?
Yep, thanks for checking. I like the car. How long have you been a rideshare driver?
About 3 years now. I really enjoy it.
Isn't it hard to make money these days with the price of gas being so high?
Not for me. I use Upside, the free app that gives you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get real money back when you get gas with the Upside app?
Yep, I get real cash back every time I get gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200 to $300.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code STRONG for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code STRONG for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code STRONG.
All right, it's Sam Bushman on the road, ladies and gentlemen, having a fantastic time, hoping you are as well. Oh, we're approaching the 4th of July, one of my favorite holidays of the world. Speaking of James Edwards telling you it's his birthday the next day, 43 years old for him. My birthday is coming up on the 4th of July. I'll be 56 years old as well. So, man, we're having a lot of birthdays. We're having a lot of fun as we restore the Republic. It's a lot of hard work. But you know what? We the people, under God Almighty, are absolutely up for the challenge, don't you know? So I'm in the middle of this interview with James Edwards that I'm playing back because we had internet issues the day we aired the show the first place on Wednesday. But here's Sam and James in this riveting conversation.
We're discussing this Donald Trump and Kerry Lake think they got to commit election fraud because the enemy is doing that. And therefore, until they gain power, they got to go ahead and stoop to the low. James Edwards with me. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. James completely disagrees with my assessment of that. James feels like, hey, we've got to do something. We lose every time if we, do what we've done. And I say that because I'm not trying to, you know, put my side of the discussion into James's mouth. I'm trying to fairly articulate, look, I'm saying the moral high ground is to do what's right. James is saying, look, we're forced to play by their rules. James?
Yeah, I mean, and of course, while we were having that important conversation, George Soros shuts us down for about 5 minutes. So I don't know exactly where we were when we cut off. But just a quick recap, and then we'll move forward. So basically, I mean, yeah, I agree with you in so much as, look, anybody can get up and go vote. All right, there's no they call this like a suppression of the vote, and the Democrats say Republicans are out to disenfranchise blacks and other support groups of the regime by making them actually have to do the unfathomable and unthinkable thing of driving to the polls and voting on Election Day. I think that, and by the way, if you have long lines, just create more precincts. I mean, that problem solved. You know, every neighborhood can have a precinct as far as that goes. You can make more precincts, and that shuts down the line.
That used to be the American way, sir.
Well, and that's what I would want it to be again, but what I want and what it is are two different things, and so this is what I'm saying. We have to go with what they're doing, but let me completely develop the thought here. You've got Election Day. And I relish and savor my opportunity to vote on Election Day. I've never early voted. I've certainly never done a mail-in ballot or any of that stuff. Voting on Election Day, and with rare exception, for military absentee ballots, maybe for expats, you have to mail that in. Mail-in ballots for people who are genuinely too ill or too disabled to go and vote. All right, on case-by-case basis, that should be how you vote. You vote in person on Election Day, you mail it in with rare exception. But this whole thing now where you've got a month of early voting and everybody going around in the Democratic Party stuffing ballot boxes, going and harvesting votes. And I you know, there's nothing necessarily illegal about that, but the only problem is you don't know if these mail-in ballots are legitimate. And I was talking about black churches. Now, this is something that goes on. They go in and they harvest the votes. And I say, if that's the way the game is played, you've got two citizens, people with no power, whether or not he should have done more when he had power, that's a totally different conversation. But Carrie Lake and Donald Trump, they're seeing this. And they're seeing that, and the data shows, that our people, and I include myself in this, I like to vote on Election Day. Well, what happens if on Election Day you wake up sick, you get busy, the lines are long, weather's bad? Well, then you just decide, well, I'm just going to skip voting this year. And I think that happens. And in a lot of these races, Donald Trump was very, very close to winning, even by the official count. Whether the official count was the actual count, that's, you know, we'll never know. But I think it's close enough to where a few extra votes matter. We know that they matter. We know that even in 2016, he was winning states like Michigan by a few thousand votes. I mean, this is 0% difference between him and Hillary. So it's razor thin. And they're looking at this and they're saying, we need to get our votes in however we can get them in. This is the way the game is played, and we have our principles. We have the way we want things to be. But if you are principled and you're fighting a battle against unprincipled people, guess what? You lose every time. And our people have lost every time for 50 to 100 years. And if ensuring that you get the maximum amount of vote out of your constituency that you can, I think that's something that should be considered.
All right,
so I
James,
think that's what they're saying.
Let me
is
throw
realistic.
A fly in the ointment for the narrative. Here's the deal. You're assuming that the Donald Trump Republican cabal, the right wing portion of the deep state. So Pat Buchanan taught that the left and the right wings are of the same bird of prey. It's really a uniparty. And the Republicans have been committing election fraud as long as the Democrats. The Republicans have pretended they're not committing election fraud. And the Democrats pretended they're not committing election fraud. Now the Democrats are blatantly admitting over the last several years, yeah, we commit fraud, absolutely. And the Republicans started out by saying we're not going to commit that same fraud, but they lied. They just stabbed you in the back while they committed the fraud instead of laughing in your face while committing the fraud. The only difference now is the Republicans are now admitting they're going to commit fraud too.
Well, now we're really getting somewhere, Sam, because now you're stabbing at something that I've already completely embraced, and that is a post-American reality. I don't think we're going to vote our way out of this. Before the practical purpose of having this conversation with regards to what Donald Trump and Carrie Lake are saying about mail-in ballots, I say, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You get to the maximum amount
of
extraction.
We're talking about mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting together, though. In other words, all kinds of ways to commit fraud, they're just basically putting on the table. We're going to commit fraud, too.
Well,
and not only that, we've done it forever, but we're going to now put it in your face.
I don't think that necessarily going and getting, you know, this is what they call ballot harvesting, encouraging registered voters to vote is illegal. Now, if you're making up ballots and you're sending them in, and I think that has been done, that's a totally different story. But as far as going into neighborhoods, going into churches, saying don't forget to vote, if you can't go vote, if you're too lazy, you want to just sign this mail-in ballot right here, we'll take it to the post office for you, and that's of course what the Democrats are have done.
And so that's criminal. Let me tell you why that's criminal. And I know it's legal, but that doesn't make it right, because you can't guarantee the custody of ballots that way, James.
I agree 100%. Listen, we are in no disagreement whatsoever in terms of mail-in balloting should be off the table. It should not be allowed except for in the extreme circumstances where you've got a legitimate doctor's note saying this guy, this paraplegic, he's not going to be able to drive down to the voting place. He doesn't have anybody who can take him. Something like that, okay? Rare exceptions on a case-by-case, medically certified basis, or you're in the military, something like that, you're overseas working, all right, that's it. But so I agree with you, it should not be allowed. Early voting should not be allowed. And if you say, well, the lines will be too long, we can't be expected to wait, you know, 20 minutes to vote, well, then give us more precincts. I agree. Election day, paper ballots, all of that, we're on the same page, but that is not the way it's done. The way we want it to be done and the way it is being done, two totally different realities. And if it's being done this way, I think you are stupid to, not you, Sam, but the opposition.
Yeah, the viewpoint, Donald Trump, if you will.
Is stupid to say, well, we're going to let them do this and have this advantage, but we're not going to do it. It just doesn't make any sense. If you really think that elections matter and you're going to win, you need to give yourself every chance to win. You need to be doing what the opposition is doing. That's what I'm saying in this case. But ultimately, I think we're way beyond voting ourselves out of this mess.
Let me give you the example that I think is relevant here. You know, the Republicans for a long time said, hey, we don't want sex education in the government schools. And then they said, well, wait a minute, if we're going to have sex education in government schools, we've capitulated the argument. If we're going to have sex education in the government schools, let's have abstinence-only teaching also. And so now you've got this huge money grab for sex education. A big enough piece of it is for abstinence-only now, to where it's impossible to get ourselves out of government school sex education, because even the, quote, abstinence-only people advocate for making sure they don't lose that money. And the same thing's happening here. It's don't ask, don't tell all over again. First, the Republicans said, no, we're not doing that. That's crazy. That promotes gays in the military by secret. Then the 20 years later, the liberals and the, you know, said, hey, let's promote gays in your face. And then the Republicans are like, oh, no, let's stick with don't ask, don't tell. By golly, that's the only way to go.
That's right.
See, we lose every argument by this viewpoint, James.
I agree. Listen,
and so,
I agree.
Yes, we lose an election cycle if we don't cheat. That's right. But we eventually have America wake up to the awful state that they're in by that, and they realize either the country's done, and we got to do something different, or we get a handle on doing it right. One of the two.
The country is done.
But if you do
what
this is happening, it just basically continues this scenario, right?
Country's done, and the sooner people realize that, the sooner we can get to real solutions. But in the meantime, while we're still playing the vote for the lesser of two evils game, if you want to win elections, you got to do what the other side's doing. The Republicans should have never capitulated on the mail-in balloting. They use COVID as the excuse. Now it's here to stay, and they've done that for every issue, as you just mentioned.
That's right.
I get all of that. We don't disagree, but I'm just saying you're going to lose every time if you allow them to stuff the ballots. You're not going out and trying to get all of your votes.
So do we focus on not allowing them to stuff the ballots, or do we focus on our own ballot stuffing?
Now that's a good question. Well, I'll take either one. Allowing them to, I'll take either one. I mean, either one. If I'm a Republican,
but the second
which
you
I'm
start
not.
Ballot stuffing yourself, now you'll never get rid of it because you're as guilty as the next guy.
Well, and the thing is, they're always going to have more people because third world immigration is basically a Democratic voter
That's
fundraising
right.
drive.
So even if you stuff ballots, you're guaranteed over time to lose. It's not a winning
strategy.
Well,
that wasn't part of the conversation, though. That wasn't part of the conversation wasn't should we stop it or not. The conversation was, should we continue to let them run up the totals and lose,
exactly.
or should
Let's
we try to get
break.
Our votes ourselves?
Yeah, so now Donald wants to ballot stuff. He wants to do ballot harvesting, and he also wants to do vote by mail. Are you going to help him campaign on that agenda?
No, nah, I'm post-American. I don't think we're going to vote our way out of it. I'm just looking. If
All
I'm
right,
a Republican strategist.
Carrie Lake is ready to help Donald make that case to the American people, and I reject both of their narratives.
Well, they should certainly, the argument should be for doing away with mail-in balloting and early voting and all of this other stuff, as we've already established. But,
yes.
Again, to repeat for the third time, if the other side's going to do it and you're not doing it, guess who wins? You're probably going to lose anyway because there's voter fraud. There's all kinds of things going on against you. But to further dig the hole by allowing them this huge advantage, Republicans win Election Day counts even by the numbers we're given. And then, of
Why
course,
Why don't we just have AI
losing,
vote for us, James? AI can already tell us who's supposed to win and not. Just let AI vote, right?
That's probably coming. But before that happens, again, you look at a lot of these swing states, you look at a lot of these hotly contested races, the Republicans win the Election Day vote. They lose the mail-in votes. Once those mail-in ballots come in, and this is another thing I don't understand. Why do they wait until after Election Day to count the mail-in ballots? The mail-in ballots are already in. Why don't they count them before? Do they all get delivered on Election Day? I mean, these people are voting for weeks and even months in some cases before the election. But we don't know what's going on with those mail-in ballots until we see what they need to tell us, or until we see what the deficit is and how much they need to overcome. But in any event, Republicans win Election Day voting, and the Democrats seem to get over the hump in a lot of these cases with the mail-in balloting. So if you're not trying to get a few of those mail-ins yourself, well, we've already seen the last couple of cycles how this turns out.
All right. The strategy, ladies and gentlemen, going forward from everyone in government that has any possibility of getting elected is, let's see who's the better fraudster. The better fraudster wins. Therefore, now we'll all become libertarians because, you know, what's the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist? Usually they say a few vote cycles, James. So now we're going to become anarchists, all of us.
Well, I'm certainly in favor of doing something different because what we've been doing hasn't been effective. And you're not going to vote your way out of this. But I wanted to
Understood.
Say this with regards to election fraud. Fox News is totally in the tank now for the system narrative. I mean, after they got served that $780 million judgment, Donald Trump was on with Brett Baier, and you couldn't have distinguished Brett Baier.
Why would Donald be on with Brett, not us, by the way?
You couldn't distinguish Brett Baier of Fox News from Jake Tapper of CNN, getting in his face saying, "You lost the election, sir." You know, all of this stuff because Fox is scared, you know what, less to have another lawsuit laid against them, but they would certainly shut up about that. And their reporting on it all is the same as the rest. But you can say what you will about Trump, but this guy he keeps taking his lickings. He's getting indicted and arrested up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Comes out of that court in Atlanta. Or excuse me, not he's going to be indicted in Atlanta next. Comes out of that court in Miami, has an impromptu rally still going on Fox saying, "Hey, listen, this election, I'm not so sure about it." And then he only to hear the Fox News host now sounding like CNN and MSNBC. It was interesting.
Yeah, and Donald said he was going to literally shut down the New York Times and CNN, but he's lost all of his lawsuits, and now they're his favorite place to go, right?
Well, that was another thing. We talked about this last week. I mean, for all the talk about from the left about protecting democracy, when has a radical left-wing initiative ever been voted on by the general public, especially on a state-by-state, when the state government ever approved a lot of this stuff? And it's all done, always done through legislating through the bench, whether it be circuit judges or the Supreme Court.
That's the way the Democrats do it, and that's the way the Republicans don't stand up. They let that happen. Proof in the pudding is this. Hunter Biden now avoids prison under a deal with federal prosecutors appointed by Trump, mind you. Hunter agreed to plead guilty to misdemeanor accounts on his taxes, and they said they wouldn't really deal with a gun charge, and all he's going to get is probation now. Hunter's off the hook based on a, quote, Trump-approved judge.
That was another thing.
If you will.
That was another thing. Well, again, justice is served again, but this was brought up by Brett Baier in that interview that I just mentioned. You filed all of these lawsuits. You lost all of your lawsuits. In many cases, these were judges that you appointed. Well, that means nothing, of course, just because, I mean, you would think, okay, well, this guy's going to be beholden to Trump. But no, these judges know who they answer to, and it's not Trump. It's not a former president, or even if he was still the president. It's the system. And these judges don't want to be called out. They don't want the media coming after them. They don't want to be facing crippling lawsuits or imprisonment for doing something honorable. So they're going to go along. They know how they're supposed to rule, and that's how they rule. The fact that Trump appointed some of these guys, that means nothing. It means nothing to whether or not their judgments were valid.
What if I appointed James Edwards to the court? Would James let or work out a deal with Hunter?
Oh, no, I would do, you know, listen, this is the thing where I have a little area of disagreement from a lot of the, a lot of my friends out there in terms of, well, we would stick to our principles. We would be for freedom of speech. You know, we would always adhere to the letter of the law, and there would be no interpretation of our political beliefs in our judgment. Now, I think there needs to be a reckoning. And if our side ever got power, I would be entirely in favor of complete and obtuse, unequivocal censorship of a lot of the things that the left is doing. There's just,
and I agree. And we'll get into some of those, by the way, next hour, because your point's well taken.
They always say there's no room in society for racism, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. With this, it's another.
Yeah, there is. If somebody
term.
Wants to be a racist, that's their thoughts, their heart, their beliefs. They can think that all day long if they want.
Well, but you're talking about the legitimate definition, or I mean, and again, it was still a made up word that didn't even enter into the dictionary until about 100 years ago. But what we're talking about is it's a catch all term to stifle the debate and dissent. But they always hear it. There's no room in society for racism.
But if you want to think you're above somebody, you're better than somebody, or you don't want to serve somebody, or you know, you have your right, your conscience is right or wrong as you may be on the facts, James.
Well, I agree with all of that, too, but there truly is no room in society for child gender mutilation and all of
well,
this
and
stuff.
And that's
I mean,
the line we're drawing. That's the point. When is it a belief that you have the right to that's harming no one versus when is it actions that are criminal, right?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you're an extremist if you are a Christian. You're an extremist now. What is an extremist? You're an extremist now if you believe that there's two God-ordained, you know, a marriage is a God-ordained union between a man and a woman. You're an extremist if you believe that there are two genders, male and female, he made them. You're an extremist if you don't hate your ancestors, if you're white. You're an extremist for this, that, and the other. But you're not an extremist. You're totally mainstream and obviously completely scientifically validated if you believe that you can change your sex like you change your clothes, that you can wake up one day, oh, I'm a man. Oh, that you're in a mainstream then. You're with it. If I was a judge, I would do exactly what the enemy has done. I would punish the people who try to carry these beliefs into society exactly as they've tried to punish us. I think that's just the way it has to be. I wish I could say, you know, if I came up, I'm all for freedom of speech and. This is a guy who's carrying out child gender mutilations, and he deserves to have his voice heard, and so on and so forth. No, I don't believe that. I think that's another reason why we lose. The left plays to win. The left plays to take us out. Our side plays to satisfy and appease everybody, and we've seen what's happened with that.
I agree with James Edwards that, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need to appease every view. Every view is not equal. God's laws and God's views and moral principles trump immorality every time. And so, you know what, if you want to mutilate a little child's body, you want to murder a little baby, you want to, okay, those things are criminal, ladies and gentlemen, and we should prosecute to the full extent of the law with Hunter Biden. You know what, if you want to change the tax code, go ahead and change it. But in the meantime, Hunter Biden violated very serious laws. Slapping him on the wrist, as is done in the two-tier justice system, is the disgrace. And Republicans will whine about it, but they won't do anything. They'll just complain. They'll be like, oh, that was unfair. That was horrible. But in the end of the day, they won't do anything. Okay, they won't do anything at all. And that is the quintessential problem. What James is saying is he would take care of business. He would go ahead and say, look, we're not going to tolerate that, Hunter. You're out of control. We're going to prosecute Hunter to the fullest extent of the law. We're going to dig into the international crimes that he committed. For example, Joe Biden is a criminal, ladies and gentlemen. And he and his son, Hunter, both took $5 million in illegal bribes. Instead of Biden being in a jail cell rotting where he belongs, the guy's just running around kicking back, putting his feet up in the Oval Office, James. This is kind of what we're talking about. It's flat-out criminal treasonous behavior, and the Republicans will do nothing, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that is exactly right. This is something, and I've mentioned this before, that the great Southern theologian R.L. Dabney noticed about conservatism in the mid-1800s is that it's just a shadow that follows liberalism into perdition. It's just it never retards it. It never advances against it. It always just follows it. And then, as you were alluding to in a moment ago, just sort of a throwaway comment, whatever the liberal victories of yesterday become the causes that we champion today, like don't ask, don't tell. I mean, that was something that conservatives were opposed to. We didn't want homosexuals in the military, whether they told or not. But now it's like, oh yeah, don't ask, don't tell. That was our idea. That's, you know, or, you know, this liberal hero of yesterday was our hero, whereas, you know, the, you radical transgenderists today are the bad guys. No, it's all bad. And obviously, though, the side in power, might makes right. It's not right, but that might makes the law, and might makes what society is championing. They've captured control of all of the institutions. Media is a big one. And we've got to do better. I mean, we've got to learn from the mistakes. I mean, doing the same thing over and over and over. We talk about the definition of insanity. Everybody knows that line. But doing the same things over and over and over isn't going to get us out of this. And we are too far gone. The cultural rot, the rot of America, our decline into degeneracy and outright evil is yesterday's the solutions we could have had 50 years ago, an election here, a court appointment there. We're just too far beyond that, Sam, and I don't know what the answer is going to be, but it's certainly not continuing on voting Republicans and Democrats.
I think you're spot on this, and I bring this up, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I want to be very clear about a little bit of the nuanced differences between James and I, all right? Because we're exposing some very detailed political discussions, it seems like we might be on opposite sides. James and Carrie Lake and Donald Trump are saying, hey, let's commit fraud. They're not saying that at all. And I don't think that Carrie Lake and Donald Trump want to say they're committing election fraud. They just simply say, look, it's a dirty game. It's not the way we'd like it to work. But if that's the way it works, I'll give you an example. Kicking someone in the nuts. You know, in most sports, that's off. You can't do that. All right? You can't do that. You can't punch someone in the head or in the face or whatever. All they're saying is if that's the rules, we'll play by those rules. So they're not really advocating for fraud, and I don't want to indicate that they are. I guess what I'm saying is it's a very slippery slope. James is not, by any stretch of the imagination, saying, hey, fraud's fine. I throw in with evil. I don't.
No, no.
James isn't saying that. What he's simply saying is if the rules are to kick someone in the nuts, then I guess that's how we'll play. Because if I don't, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be out.
And, yeah, I'm going to get kicked
the discussion,
in them.
Right. So the discussion isn't really that black and white, right or wrong, as I'm painting it to be. Okay, folks, what I'm trying to get across is the moral high ground. And you know what? I get that some are saying we got to play by their rules if those are the rules we've allowed. The problem is us allowing those rules in the first place. The problem is us letting it get to this point. Now, the only discussion left is what's the best way out of this? And Donald's saying, well, elect me, I'll commit fraud better than they will. Or I'll play by the rules better than they will. I'll kick Joe in the nuts before he kicks me in the nuts, kind of thing, right? James is saying, look, forget all that stuff. Now that we've literally lost the battle because we've allowed all this to be the rules, there's no fair fight. The only way now is to go a different way, to create our own, whatever you want to call it, fight, battle, with our own rules, with our own circumstances, with our own systems that are fair and honest and true and right and Christian. That's what James is saying. I'll let James respond in a second. I don't mean to put words in his mouth. And I agree with what James is saying. We've got to build new institutions that don't have this, what, survival of the fittest, lowest common denominator. And that's what James is really saying. That's the world we're in. We're either going to play there or we're going to create our own institutions. Is that really what you're saying, James?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. I think we're on the same page. I think we agree with what we would have society look like and how we would have these things run if we were in control and had the chance to have a clean slate and make things right. But I'm just looking at the way things are, and I'm looking at if you think that voting is still a way that we can enact some positive change, you're tying your hands behind your back to not get every vote in you can. You're already going to be running up against the specter or the threat of vote fraud, and to allow them to pack in this huge advantage before Election Day as they are doing with the mail-in ballots and all everything else. If you're not going to get rid of it, you better start playing that way.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, next hour we talk about John Durham testifying before Congress. Absolutely worthless.